Amen. 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 In my translation, for hallelujah is yeah. That's the way I look at it. That's the way my Bible reads. It's exciting. When someone says hallelujah, we don't use that word much anymore in churches today, especially not in cowboy churches, but by cracky, yeehaw is something that we hear all the time when we get excited. And it's good to be excited about God's Word and what God's doing. I tell you, you know, I am so excited after yesterday how the whole church came together for one focus. One focus only, and that was to minister to the ladies of the community. And I tell you what, man. Guys, we need to give everybody that had anything to do with the event yesterday, let's give them a hand. Because I'm telling you, it was a success. After all that had been done, you know, I saw all the ladies and how they ran all of us guys away. We were here, you know, and we were doing the stuff in the background. But after about midways through it, they just said, y'all need to get lost because it's fixing to get, we're fixing to start crying and getting emotional, you know. And I started crying. I didn't really want to leave. I was so excited. But anyway, they kicked us out anyway. So I went in my office and I hid and napped and did everything else I was doing. But I got to hear a lot of what was going on. And I tell you, it was a blessing to my heart. I tell you, I was just excited about the number of people that came. And I was really pumped. But then, when they came to me and told me that four people had accepted Christ, I started jumping up and down. Literally, I was excited. It was just excited me to no end, because that's what this thing was all about, was reaching the unchurched. Someone that didn't know about Jesus. Someone that didn't know about ladies' ministry and about how God works in people's lives. That's what it's all about in my book. And I guarantee you that's what's important to the Lord this morning. I tell you, I don't know if y'all been watching TV. I talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. It's on the radio. It's all over the United States about what the folks in Houston are doing to the pastors. I know a lot of you heard about it. They had this transgender, transsexuals, trans something. And I'm not really up on it, all that stuff, okay? I just know that there's a boys' restroom and there's a girls' restroom and woman's restroom, and now they want another one for that third person, whoever that is. My Bible doesn't mention that person. I kind of look through it and I'm sitting there going, man, where did God make a zero? There's one and another, and then there's one that's supposed to be, I don't know. I'm not going to go there. Except to say this. When this country, when the government and everything starts attacking God's men in the pulpit to where we're not free to talk about sin, what are they going to pick on next? What is the next thing? If it's this, what's going to be, and they're successful, what's the next thing they're going to say that we can't talk about? What other freedom are they going to take away from us? I tell you, it is time for us to stand up as Christians. We have been silently sitting back, letting things happen, sleeping, letting things go by, because why? We just didn't want the fight, okay? We just didn't really feel like that, is it really worth it, you know, to make a big stink about this? Folks, this is America. If we don't have freedom of speech here, if I can't say that is a sin, if I can't speak God's word, then I'm going to quit. I'll go do it somewhere else. If I can't do it here, I'll go outside and do it. If I can't do it in God's house, where can I do it? Where can you do it? You can't tell a friend about Jesus because you might offend them. Hogwash. I'm telling you, it's coming to that. It's coming about, it's all about offending someone. That's what it's about. That's what it's always been about. I want us to look at some of the things that's happening in the churches across America where people are getting offended about everything. All they want to do is feel good. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to hear what God says is sin. In Psalms 147:3, let's go there. It's a short verse, but it's powerful. Psalms 147:3. This is talking about God. It said, God says, actually it says, He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. You know, we as living in the area that we live in the culture that we're in, I mean, we as a cowboy church, we have guys that are cowboying, that are ranching, that are farming, they're working with calves, they're working with heifers, they're working with steers, they're working with bulls, they're driving trucks, tractors, four-wheelers, discing pastures, mowing, cutting hay, baling hay, fertilizing hay. Everything that we do causes us to get hurt. We either get stepped on, pinched, stomped, rolled up, balled up, crammed in, jammed. Every way you can think can happen. Something dropped on you. Everything that can happen probably will happen in this type of culture that we live in and what we do. Cuts, bruises, broken arms, getting, like I said, stomped and kicked and strains and fractures and pulled muscles. It happens almost on a daily basis. And we get hurt, what do? Say you get a cut on your arm. You get a cut, you go, oh my gosh, and you just keep on working unless it's all the way to the bone. But usually you get a cut on your arm and you go, well, later on I'm going to take care of it. You go and you wash it off, you put a medicine on it and slap a Band-Aid on it. Or a bandage if it's big enough. What's the bandage for? What is the dressing for? It's to protect it, okay? We put that on there so it won't get hurt, so it won't get infected. So nothing else will happen to that spot so it can heal. But if you left that bandage on there long enough, what would happen? Think about it. If you left it on there long enough, it's not going to heal right. You have to take it off and let the sun get to it, let the air get to it, let it dry a little bit, and then you can go on and keep on working, living your life. I'll tell you, this is one of the hardest subjects. This is what is going on in America today. We get hurt. Someone says something smart aleck to us. And this is not in just church. This happens in work. It happens in our families. It happens every single day and sometimes several days. Somebody will say something smart aleck to us, or somebody will do something to us. They'll hurt our feelings. They'll make us mad. There's something always going to happen. There's always, especially if you're looking for it, if you're always looking, if you're one of those type of person that look to get hurt, and you know what I'm talking about. There's folks like that they really can't make it unless they're upset about something. But for everybody else, there's times it really does hurt when someone does something to you. It really hurts. It's just as bad as a cut on your arm or getting stomped on. It's something that you think on and you dwell on. And it hurts us deep inside. So what do we do when that happens? The first thing we do is we put a wall up. We put a bandage up. We put that wall up. Why do we do that? Think about it. Why do you put that wall up? One thing is it's to protect that spot. It's to protect you so that it doesn't happen again. So that you don't get hurt again. So that you can heal that what's going on inside of your heart. You put that wall up. Normally, you take that wall down. You pray about it. You ask God. You say, I'm going to forgive this person. And boom, the wall comes down and everything's fine. But what if you left that wall up? What would happen? Now, this happens not just here in Common Ground. It happens in every cowboy church, every Baptist church, every Catholic church. It happens at every workplace. It happens every stinking day. This goes on. And people have to deal with it. Even when we have the best intentions, even when everything, we feel like we are really serving the Lord, things happen. We take these walls and we put them up, and we never, ever take them down because we're always afraid that we're going to get hurt again. I'm here to tell you this morning, when I read my Bible, I found out that God is the ultimate doctor for everything that ails you. Whether it's the outside, a cut on your arm, a deep bruise in your leg, a blood disease, if it's got anything to do with your physical body, God is the ultimate doctor. But guess what? If there's something that's inside of us that is wounded, God is the ultimate doctor for that also. You may not even realize that you're hurting inside about something or you're holding something in. You may not even realize it may have happened so long ago that wall has been up so long that you actually have forgotten about it until someone plucks that last nerve, that last thing. I heard it the other day. They said, you know, I've only got so many nerves, and they're stomping on that last one, trying to tear it, you know, and tear me loose and get me upset. We need to pray to God this morning, not just here at this church, but every church and everywhere in America. There's time we take the walls down. It's time, because I'm telling you, these women yesterday were united. They were here for a single purpose. They were here for a reason, to worship God and to let God speak to them. Unity. I'm telling you, if the Christians in America do not unify, if we do not stop fighting and being hurt amongst ourselves, how are we ever, ever going to be able to set this country back in the right course? This is not a message to whoop on us. This is not a message for us to feel bad about. God let me know right away this was a message for encouragement. This was a message to wake us up, kick us right in the buttocks. I mean, hard. How many times have you ever, someone just reached up and just kicked you so hard, it made your teeth clack? Whoa, you know. That's what God is trying to do this morning. He is kicking you in your spiritual butt and mine to take the walls back and unify ourselves together. Because I'm telling you, if America doesn't, just think what comes next. Just think what it's going to be like 10 years from now. When the kids that are sitting here, the kids that are upstairs, what they have to deal with. If mom and dad and grandma and grandpa don't do something now, I fear for our future kids. I do. Because the America that that we have right this minute is not going to be the America and the church that's going to be 10 years from now unless we do something. I don't have a clue if any of us have a burr under our saddle. Anybody ever had a burr get under your saddle blanket between you and your horse? Ugh, it ain't good. It ain't ever good. What happens? Usually turns out, it depends on the horse, but a lot, most times it's a wreck. If you climb up there and you just put all your weight on there, all them little spines, they just dig right into that horse's back. Now, some horses are just naturally so good-natured that they might just get a knot in their back, and they might just hop around a little bit because they're not really trying to intend to buck you off. They just don't want you on their back because they're hurting. But there's others, just like us. When we get a burr under our blanket, and nobody is safe. Everybody's going to hear about it. Everybody is going to get hurt because they're going to bust wide open and throw that nose in the dirt. And guess what? Somebody is going to hit the ground. Somebody's going to get hurt. It's time that we look at our spiritual blanket, lift it up, let God reveal if there's anything that is affecting our life and is keeping us from having 100% unity with each other. Not here, just here, but in all churches. We had about anywhere from eight to ten churches that were represented here yesterday. And that's women from all over this part of Texas. All with one common thing in mind. And that was to worship God. I believe in my heart that we need God to do some doctrine. We need to drop that wall. We need to take the bandage off that whatever it is. Because we have, not only here in our church, but just think about it. We had all these folks that made this one event such a blessing that four people came to Christ. Okay? What is our next big event that we got coming up? We've got a sorting that's coming up we've got churches coming from all over the place. It is a blessing for us. It is an opportunity for common ground to not just shine, but to show unity in each other. We had teams where every team that was involved was involved in the ladies' ministry. Every team. Everybody had something to do with it. Now that we've got this other one coming up, are we going to say, oh, well, that's the arena teams. You know, I'm tired. I really don't want to do nothing for them. What do y'all say? Are we unified as far as a church, a body of believers, as a family, like we should? Or have we gotten that wall up that says, you know, I really don't like the arena team. You know, I don't like getting dusty. You know, it's dirty. I might get hurt. I might get out there and something happen. I really don't want to have anything to do with that. I like being in the air conditioning where it's cool. I don't mind doing that because it's air conditioned. You see, we need to put just as much focus because we don't have 1,000 people going to this church. If it did, it would still be the same way. They have trouble finding people to actually do the work that needs done in the church. Even when there's 1,000 members, it's the same thing when you have 100. It all has to do with the wall that we put up to protect ourselves. And I keep wondering, well, what are we really protecting ourselves from? In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We need to be encouraging each other. We need to be lifting each other in prayer. We should be lifting our other teams up, encouraging them, letting them know that we are behind them and that we've got their back. Because I'm telling you, if we don't have each other's back, if we're not doing everything we can do at Common Ground and as Christians in this country, guess what? It's not going to get done. It's not going to get done. God's work is not going to get done. This is not a message on teams. It's just a way that I had to use it as part of the message to kind of make it so that it would make sense to you. But we here at Common Ground, our family, we need to be supporting each other. And we need to look in our hearts and see, let God reveal if there's something that we need to be working on. Because everything now is going, things at Common Ground, it's a blessing. Things are just moving forward. But there's one individual that wants to see this not happen. There's one, and his name is Satan. I hate bringing his name up in the pulpit, but I'm telling you, if we don't recognize who the enemy is, we're never going to be able to see it when he starts sticking his ugly head up. Because it's everything can be going perfect, and then you have that one little... Someone say something, and then everybody, they just shuts down and say, well, just let them do it. If they got to have their way, well, just let them do it. But as believers, we need to stop and think about who we're actually working for. Are we actually serving the Lord, or are we serving just ourselves? If we were just serving ourselves, it'd be real easy. Just say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with this. This Christianity thing is too hard. Man, there's a lot that goes on with it. But each and every one of us here has an ability. Each and every one of us has the ability to make a difference in someone else's life. I saw how Shannon Perry, just with her ministry, how she made a difference in a lot of folks' lives yesterday. We all need each other in God's work. We need all hands on deck. It's time to tear down all the walls that are keeping us from working with each other. This goes with every single Christian in America. It's time we stand up. It's time that we start changing this world that we live in to be back the way it was. You know, we always hear about, oh man, I remember when I was a kid, boy, it was just so much better. You know, we didn't have all this nonsense. Well, how do you think it got this way? It got this way because we didn't care enough. Our parents didn't care enough. Here I am, I could blame it on my parents. I could say, oh, my grandparents didn't care enough. My parents didn't care enough. But here I am, now I'm a grandpa, I'm not a grandpa, I'm a papa. They don't even know who grandpa is, but they know who papa is, I guarantee you. But here I am as a papa, and I could simply say, well, it's not my fault that America is this way. It's not my fault Texas is this way, you know. It's all their fault. And not do one stinking thing about it. But I have a responsibility to you. I have a responsibility to God. I have a responsibility to my family. I'm telling you, it is time to stand up for what is right. Enough is enough. I look on TV and I see people get up there and talk about Christians like we are the enemy. We are the scum of the earth, when in actuality, my Bible says that we are the salt. We are the ones that put the flavor back into this world. Have we lost our flavor and ability? Can we spice it up a little bit? Can we make America and Texas what it should be? A country that was started out to be someone, a country that loved God and served God, and everything had revolved around God's Ten Commandments and what God thought this country should be. Freedom. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? Are we going to ask God to heal us? We're going to ask God to heal our church, every church that's here in Texas, every church that's in America? Are we going to ask God to heal all and be with all the men that are making the laws in our country? What are we going to do? Are you going to be that salt? Are you going to be that seasoning that changes things? How many of you ever ate a steak that ain't ever had anything on it? A piece of chicken. When you get older, the doctor says, oh, you can't have that salt. Makes blood pressure run up. You ever try to eat that stuff that's in like in nursing homes? And poor folks, I swear, it doesn't taste like anything. That's what I'm talking about. We are headed to a place in our country and in our churches where there is no good taste. There is no good things going on. We need to stand up. We need to take each other by the hand and start doing God's work. And quit making excuses. Quit saying, well, it's not my job. Quit saying, well, I don't like that person. They don't smell good. They don't look good. They don't dress like I do. It ought to make us kind of ashamed, because here at Cowboy Church, that's what we're supposed to be about, isn't it? We're supposed to be about, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in your life, it don't matter how you look, how you dress, how you smell. It don't make a difference. If you come through that door, you ought to be able to come and hear God's word and feel like you are part of a family. Let's stand up, y'all. Let's pray. Guys, take off your hats. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for the blessings that we all share in America. Father, there's folks that want to take those blessings, those rights, the freedom that we have, and flush it down the toilet. Father, just help each and every one of us to join hands together, Lord, and to start doing your work, Father, because if we don't start now, it's going to get a lot worse. I ask you to take each and every man and woman that's here, Father, and put it on their heart, Lord, to start making a difference for each other, for me, for you, for them, Father, that we would make a difference in each other's life, that we would start praying for each other and taking care of each other and standing up for what is right. I just think that we need to stand up, Father, for what you think is right, not what we think is right, but what you, our Father, have taught us is right, how we should live, how we should talk, how we should act. God, we need that. We need you bad. We need you real bad. I ask you, Lord, just send the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts so that we would join together and be the body that you expect us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're visiting here, you're probably wondering, what in the heck is going on in that church? But he is talking like that. What is he fired up about? Well, I tell you, I am fired up about what's going on in America. It's not what's going on in this church. This church is a church family that loves each other. And if you're looking for a place to serve, you're not going to find a better church than Common Ground. I haven't been here all that long. I've only been here for, I guess, maybe now 7 months. Now, I used to say six, but another month went by. But since April, and I'm not that good at math, it may be more than that, but since April 1st, and I tell you, from the moment I got here till now, I can tell you that God has just blessed me in a mighty way with being the folks here at Common Ground. And I know you will be too. If you are visiting with us, we've got a sheet back there, a green one, that you can put any information if you want to join the church. That's how you join it. If you're visiting and you have a prayer request and you would like someone to pray for you, I promise you this is a praying church. If it's a prayer that you want just me to pray for, you don't have to put your name on it. You just put what you want me to pray for. Or it can be unspoken. And just put unspoken and I'll pray for that. But I'm telling you, this is a church that loves the Lord. And we thank y'all for being here this morning. All the kids are coming down. And I know we're not going to do they're not going to be singing Jesus Loves Me this morning. So you're dismissed. Hope you have a great day. Everybody stay in help with the play day. And also, the guys, we're going to pick these tables up and put the chairs back. If y'all can help, we really appreciate it.
Happy trails to you.